I am from Rio de Janeiro in Brazil.
I'm from Saigon in Vietnam.
I'm from Ethiopia, Sabah.
I'm from Singapore.
My name is Roberta.
My name is Yuen Liu.
My name is Azib.
My name is Amandi.
I'm Shu.
Ginger,
garam masala,
soy sauce,
lentils, fish sauce,
berberry,
broccoli,
rice and beans,
black cardamom and nutmeg,
white shrimps,
chili,
8 cloves of garlic,
yes, really,
red split lentils, we call them masoor dal,
a pinch of sea salt,
two,
I sometimes put a little bit of the lime juice in it to make it more zingy.
Traditionally, even today, I would say women are the ones holding down the fort at home in the kitchen.
So we want to become a bridge between bringing these wonderful skills that women have at home to give them opportunity to work and belong to the society they live in.
Welcome to Broth, Swede and Tofu on Hidden Kitchens, where we tell the stories of unusual kitchens and food traditions that bind communities together. This will teach you how to eat globally, with help from the women who know best. Some of these women moved to the UK from all over the world, and some were born here after their families migrated. But the one thing they have in common are their skills and expertise in cooking. You don't need a passport to taste the world. With our country's rich cultural diversity, your round-the-world tour is just a few ingredients away.
First of all, it's like stir-frying onions and garlic. And when you put the rice in, it goes... And lots of steam coming up. Lots of things bubbling, like... Because there will be a stew or some kind of meat. And lots of... And chatting, talking, voices. Voices and noises in the kitchen.
I remember the monsoon rain, so lots and lots of rain and then just people enjoying the soups and slurping and the ladle bashing on to the pot, you know, as she's pouring the broth into the noodle soup bowls.
The funny thing was having a shop when I was really, really young. The back door used to be open and my mum would be cooking upstairs and Dad would always shout, close that back door, the English don't like the smell of our curry. We'd all run to the door, literally, close the door really quick. Because we didn't have the fumes of the smell coming into the shop. You know, Dad was obsessed. The shop just could not have any cooking smells coming down. The back door always had to be shut. And then it got to a stage in my late teens, then it all changed. Oh, what is your wife cooking? It's like, leave the back door open. And then Dad started introducing samosas on the counter. Well, we've got some samosas. Oh my God, it's so funny.
Masman started from an idea from Nikki, who is the founder. When she was a child, she had a godmother who was Greek, and she was an immigrant woman, and she baked very well, and she always had a dream to have a bakery. She didn't do it ever because her husband, Greek husband, said no, women should be at home looking after children, not in business. So Nikki was brought up with this feeling of injustice against women, that men, a lot of men in different cultures, tell women what to do and they have to accept. So Mazimaz is a social enterprise that gives immigrant women in London opportunity to use their skills, cooking skills, to get jobs. We find that a lot of immigrant women come to here and have wonderful skills of cooking, but they don't have opportunity to find jobs and use those skills to earn money and to be independent. My name is Roberta. I am from Rio de Janeiro in Brazil, and I work for Mazimaz as a manager. The main difference between Mazimaz, we cook food from home. All of us have wonderful memories of eating wonderful food from women at home. So we cook real food, authentic food from the countries where the woman is from. They will be cooking as if they were at home and serving for family or friends. We have a menu for the day, and the main chef, she can be from a different country like Ethiopia, Peru, Iran. Let's say we have an Ethiopian meal, and we have other women from different countries helping to make that Ethiopian meal. So they all learn from each other different cultures, different food, and work together.
My name is Azeb. I am from Ethiopia, Addis Ababa. 2011, I moved here. Now I am a chef with Masimas.
Ethiopian food is very much about eating together. So they have a main base, what they call a sourdough pancake or injera. It's a huge thing that normally sits on the middle of the table. People sit around it and they pull bits of the pancake and eat the middle. So it's a beautiful way to say it's all inclusive, everyone's the same.
This one is for preparation of barbare. Barbare we use a lot of time in Ethiopia. When, for example, Lent Swiss barbare, we use this powder. And we have also meat. We use it most of the time with that one. White pepper, coarse barbare, dried spice.
How to make Ethiopian chickpea stew from the Edible Atlas by Mina Holland. Ingredients: 3 tins of chickpeas drained, 50 grams of butter, 1 large onion. In a pestle and mortar, grind the following: 2 teaspoons of salt. Preheat the oven to 200 degrees. Pour the chickpeas into a large baking dish in a single layer and roast in the oven for 15 minutes. 5 tablespoons. Add the chickpeas, chopped tomatoes and stock. Bring to the boil and simmer for 20 minutes to reduce it a little. Chopped tomatoes, 500 milliliters of stock.
So Masimas is as well a feminist project because we find that women are the ones who have less opportunity to belong when they move abroad. Men normally find jobs in construction, security, and women, because they have children, especially mothers, they end up having very limited access to jobs.
For me, pho is about home. As with most Vietnamese, I constantly crave it, especially when I'm away. Whenever I eat it, I am reminded of the love of my mother and her endless quest to make the perfect pho broth. When we first came to England in the early 1980s, it was difficult to find Vietnamese ingredients. The day she discovered where to buy coriander, she beamed and made the best pot of pho I've ever had.
My name is Yuen Lu. I'm from Saigon in Vietnam. And my job now is a chef, a food photographer, and author. My family and many families tried to escape Vietnam on a little fishing boat, much like what's happening in Syria at the moment. And, you know, that wasn't allowed, so you were caught. So we were caught many times and we were put into re-education camps. But then my father, he somehow escaped alone, and he was rescued by the British who colonised Hong Kong at the time in the late 70s, early 80s. So we were taken in by the British government. So I came to England as a refugee. Well, I'd say my mum taught me how to cook. Essentially, I learned how to cook from eating her food and then figuring out myself how to make it when I didn't live with her anymore.
How to eat pho like the Vietnamese. First,
breathe in the beautiful scented broth and taste it unspoiled by any condiments.
Next,
squeeze on some lemon or lime juice and add your favourite condiments and garnishes.
Mix with chopsticks and a spoon.
Pile the ingredients onto your spoon and slurp away, bringing the bowl to your mouth and drinking every last sip of broth.
You can go without most of the garnishes, but using the right noodles is really important.
It is essential to use ban pho or hủ tiếu, flat noodles.
There should be plenty of noodles in the bowl, but these must be submerged in the broth. Only the garnishes are placed on top. In Vietnam, you can order extra noodles. And don't forget, this is a breakfast dish. Its spicy contents wake you up, and the carbohydrates keep you going through the day. Garnishes can be bean sprouts, herbs such as Thai sweet basil, coriander and sawtooth.
I started my blog. It's called Mummy, I Can Cook. It started out more as kind of a record to prove to my mom I wasn't surviving on beans and toast. I'm Shu, came from Singapore about 7 years ago. I've just released my first cookbook. It's called Chicken and Rice, about Southeast Asian cooking, but as much as possible using British ingredients. My mom grew up on a farm, and it was very common. It was like a fishing village. My mom's role then was to help out with the farm. She, from the age of 10, she'd be cooking for the whole family. But, you know, education wasn't like the first thing on their minds. It was great to have. It wasn't essential.
if they had only enough money to send one child to school, they would do it for probably the younger ones and the sons. So my mom was the oldest daughter, which meant nah. And I think that's why she wants us to focus so much on our education, because she wants us to have the opportunity to do more than what she did. I wish my mom gave us more time in the kitchen. It's not just a life skill, but it's a really great way to bond. Often when I invite my friends over for dinner, I don't just put plates on the table and go, oh yeah, okay, look at what I've done. I always just involve them. I bet they all regret asking, oh, can I do anything to help? Because I would just be, oh yeah, right, can you chop this? Can you do that? I got a job working at the farmer's market every weekend. I learned to see, you know, asparagus as the sign of the seasons changing. Taught me the importance of great produce for flavour and for nutrition. For me, it makes a lot more sense to be cooking fresh chard that you get from the farmer's market than, you know, trekking all the way down to Chinatown to get, you know, a bag of morning glory for three times the price, and it's flown from halfway across the world. And to some people, that might seem quite inauthentic, but to me, there is nothing more Southeast Asian to be cooking with the freshest and the best ingredients that you can get hold of and using, you know, the best flavours that you have in mind. Mum's fail-safe vegetables, 2 heaped tablespoons dried shrimps, 4 tablespoons... It's basically vegetables stir-fried with garlic, dried shrimps, sometimes lard if you can. 500 grams rainbow chard. Or I do this with any vegetable that's in season.
Vegetables in season now. Beetroot, Brussels sprouts, cauliflower, celeriac.
I think it really exemplifies the approach to Asian cooking. We don't shy away from seafood or meat or fat, but rather than letting it be the star of the show, it's used as a complement to the dish.
Mazimas needs to help these women because when they come from a different country to the UK as immigrants, they find it very difficult to have access to the more formal society. I think they come in a position already of second best. The men go and find a job, and they, because their mother's at home, they end up looking after the children. If there is a man, because a lot of the time the men are gone and they're on their own, so they have no choice at all.
My name is Amandeep Upal. I live in London, but originally from Leeds, Yorkshire. If you're doing them at the temple, then you have to feed and prepare to feed hundreds of people. So the family, you have to all get together, and the chopping, the peeling, the cutting, pastry, even the filling, if you're making samosas, anything, all has to happen there and then. The halls are very clinical. They're just simple, and or carpeting that you can sit down and sit on the floor and eat, but it's just lines and lines and lines of people. In the morning, little bhajis, which are onion, potato, cauliflower fritters with Indian cups of tea made with cardamom and all these lovely whole spices. Lunch is very much Indian bread with a lentil and maybe 2 vegetables. You know, you can have as much as you like. It's not just one go. So there's always somebody walking around, topping you up. You know, there's a saying, in India, no one can ever go hungry. There's always a temple somewhere. But I've seen all sorts of the Yorkshire temple. I've seen Indian women that have married some guy over here. He then just left her. She left all her family in India. She's got 2 kids or whatever, 3. You know, you can see that they're really run down. She can sit and she can feed her children. Just so humbling, because you can see local policemen come in, you see homeless people come in, people of not the Sikh faith come in, because it's just not about anything but just being a human being, and you're feeding them.
We are not just a place that people come and eat good food and go. The people who cook and the people who come wants to become part of a bigger picture where they are. We would love to be in a place that people who live in the area could come and maybe do different jobs. Definitely a place open to the local people. We can only change society when everyone is included. I always say that when you work in a kitchen with men, there is mainly competition. And when you work in a kitchen with women, it's mainly cooperation. We always laughing, making jokes. And at the same time, we're working hard. We can do it. We cook with care and love, and this is absolutely true. It's the typical magic of women.